Due to some technical errors with our audio, we missed Pastor Rick reading the passage for this morning's sermon, which is Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure, buried in a field, then a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it." And now for the rest of the sermon.
Now I'm breaking it. This is one of those things where things start going bonkers on you. And you start to wonder, like, okay, maybe today's an important day, like, because we got a lot of random distractions. I got problems. It's all just weird. So let me read this, especially this one, this parable. It's a unique one because it's three whole verses. The three verses pretty much say the same thing twice. And you think, like, oh, yeah, this just makes sense. But that is actually the opposite of what parables should be. Parables were written to be difficult. And Jesus came out and said, not so that people hear it and understand it, but so that they don't hear and they don't hear it, they don't have ears to hear, and they wrestle with it. Because the parable was not written to you, it was written for you. It was written at a different time with a different group of people, with a whole different family, and we have to do the work to understand that word to be able to understand what Scripture says. Okay? This is not what Jesus spoke with a microphone and had microphone difficulties. They didn't have running water and these lights and all these things that we understand, so we can't just put this up and translate it directly in. We have to do the work. And the parable is one of those things. We have to do the work. And we read these things and go, this is just a really simple one. But with the design, the rabbinical preaching style was done to wrestle with it. And it's clear people are every week, and we went through the sermons, and this week, more than any other, we wrestled. And we went back and forth, and you said, well, this is not where it starts, and where it ends, and we're only up to this one week. And it says, no, but over here in Scripture, it says this. And it's like, oh, that's a good point. And what if this one means this, and what if this means this? And we spent an hour wrestling over three verses. And that's what it's intended to do. Because when we take the time and we wrestle with Scripture and we do the work, we find the treasure. We get there. Now, that's all this parable is talking about, but that's the work. We get to find what it's going for. So, in order to talk about the parable, there are some questions that we have to start with. The first one is, what is the kingdom? The kingdom is the reins of your effective will. A kingdom is the reins of your effective will. And the culture and the culture, when you hear the word kingdom, you think big walls. You think one person is the dictator. You think that there's the elite and the oppressed, and it's a city that people are oppressed out of, and there's all these rules and authorities, and a lot of that is right with kingdom. But when you look at what God's word said, it does make sense that it has to be someone's will to abide by a kingdom. There may be consequences to not abiding. It is the will of the leader to establish a kingdom. So when we hear the kingdom of heaven is like, the first thing we have to understand is the kingdom of heaven. And to understand a kingdom. And so one of the first categories is this fact that, okay, we're the kingdom of heaven, we start building these walls, and we talk about these pearly gates, and all these things that are kingdom-focused. That's not what God's talking about at all. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. So if the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom, what is the kingdom of heaven? We see in Romans, Well, it's not. It's the kingdom of God, which kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. They're the same thing. They're used in different areas and translation, but they mean the same thing if you read it in different spots. But the kingdom of God is not even. So, well, that's really helpful. Now, this was in the chapter of Romans where they're talking about clean and unclean foods. And so, the Torah is saying that the kingdom of heaven is not based on what you're eating and what you're drinking and what you're saying. You're treated as clean and unclean. That's not it. And so, it's because the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you're like, okay. I can get on board with that. That makes sense. Righteousness, that's good. Joy, peace. Those are things I want, and so to go, okay. So, if it's not based on all of these rules, and what is clean and unclean, there is a place of righteousness, a place of peace, and a place of joy, and so to go, well, this kingdom doesn't sound too terribly bad. I would love peace. I would love joy. I would love to live in a just and righteous land. And so we'll start off with this kingdom of heaven. It's a good thing. But then we read in Galatians, in our passages, he says, now the works of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, wow, there we go, adultery, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things as I have warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is peace and joy in righteousness. But the kingdom of God obviously is not this whole list of things. Like, okay, we're getting somewhere. So if the kingdom of God is right, we're now going, okay, this is what the kingdom of God is. And so, what is the kingdom of God? Because again, there's this whole list of things that it's not. But we have this peace, and we have this joy, and we have this righteousness. Well, these are things I'm striving after, right? But this is what we've built a world for. And we get up every day, and we go to work, and we try to pay our bills, and we get our house and our car, and we like the car to be a good one that doesn't give us a lot of trouble. We like the house to be, you know, where the roof doesn't leak, and we just like it to be a sanctuary, a place of peace, a place of joy. We don't mind that when we drive up to the garage, we can start the car and it can go. We don't know that when we're hungry, there's food in the fridge. And so we strive and we work to build this place of peace and joy. But we're just chasing it. Because there's a lot of things and a lot of places that we can have peace and joy. We can accomplish it. I've lived in a handful of different houses. I've lived in small houses. I've lived in houses that needed a lot of work. And I built myself a couple brand new houses. As a builder, it's one of the privileges I can do. And I've had these things. I can tell you that I've had just as much peace and joy in times of my life and the harder, more houses that were significantly less expensive than I have in the bigger ones, and maybe even less, because in the bigger ones, I now have the pressure of, I got to keep my yard up. Like, there's a camper sitting in our yard. We pulled in, 10 days ago back from Tennessee, and we got back, and we quickly unloaded, and the kids were getting ready up, and the driveway was a mess, and I could just feel my neighbors, especially these ones that the minivan, as they're driving by, staring at me going, pick up your yard. There's a pressure to it. We live in this neighborhood, and it's a nice place, and there's other people with their expectations. So is it really that peaceful and that joyful? But these are the things we're chasing after. But yet we're seeing the kingdom of God is this. one of the struggles I've had with this scripture. And to be honest with you, it wasn't until last fall when we were doing basement church, if you were able to be with us for that, and we were going through the Sermon on Mount, that I dug into and tried to understand this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God and what it is. But my brain would always sit to, okay, the kingdom of heaven, that's the deal, right? When I die, I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. I want to be in God's kingdom. That's the goal. That's what I want. And we live our life pursuing this majestic, pearly gates, gold streets. So when you think about the descriptions of heaven and you go, man, our most valued possession is gold. It's a currency that's understood all across the world. And God goes, in my kingdom, in my heaven, it's asphalt. It's one of the worthless things. And so we have this picture that we build of God's kingdom, and that's where I want to end up. If I can just live my life good enough, if I can just endure this life, that's the goal. I don't think it is. I don't think that's the goal. And we see in Matthew, John the Baptist, who paved the way, and John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Oh, wait a minute, that was 2,000 years ago. What's near? What's this kingdom of heaven he's talking about? Jesus began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. But wait a minute. If the kingdom of heaven is near, what's that mean? Is it just that? Again, if I endure this life enough, that's the reward? Or are they talking something different? So I don't know, but have we gotten any more closer to the answer of what is the kingdom of heaven? Because to understand the parable, we have to unpack the words that are in it. But to understand a treasure and a pearl, we have to work harder to understand the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven is not defined by walls. It's not abstract. It's not just a distant place, and it's not destiny. The kingdom of heaven is now. It's available. See, we talk about the Gospels, and we often, when we hear the Gospels, we go, it's the good news. It's the four Gospel books of the New Testament. It's the good news. And what it really is, it's the talking, it's the coming, it's the presence of the kingdom of heaven. The word for it is a year and a year. I've said this 4 times, which means a kingdom is here. It's the good news of a new reign, of a new king. It's here. The place of peace and joy is here. Jesus came and said the kingdom of heaven is here. It's not this place with walls, but it's a new ruler of this earth. One that says we no longer have to endure. We no longer have to taste for joy in peace, but it's available. It's there. The kingdom of heaven is here. In fact, we see a little bit back to you as it goes. It says, but seek first and of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Where Jesus is going, guys, if you just focus on this kingdom, because this new world of the earth, this new world of God that created it, is not here in present. The Holy Spirit has taken the place of the prayer of Jesus' life. This is the kingdom of heaven, and then you get peace and you get joy. It's a ruler of righteousness. And this spoke a lot to an oppressed people who were under the rule of Rome. And he went to the Sermon on the Mount and said, hey, blessed saying is this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. These are the people who occupy the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is here. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're in. Those who mourn, they're in. Those who are meek, they're in. Jesus said, you know, you heard it said about all of these things that you think you understand, but these are all. You're going to be understanding what it means to be in the reign of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is now. It's not a place we need to wait if we endure. It's an opportunity to have peace and joy now. That's good news. There's a new king. There's a new sheriff in town. And if we abide by his rule, in his laws, in his ways, the kingdom is open and available. We go on in the letter in Galatians that he lists all of these things. Paul says, this is not the kingdom. If you're chasing the flesh, the kingdom of heaven is not for you. Because there's no room in this kingdom for those who are going after selfish ambition, for those who are doing all these things that may bring you pleasure for a moment, but there's no joy to be found in this list of things. But he says, those that are going to the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The law cannot be against such things. There's nothing preventing you from having that life now. Now, those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have been sacrificed with the flesh and his passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. What this is saying, what Paul is saying is the kingdom of God is available for those that want to sacrifice their flesh, that are going to go, you know what? There's a God who knows me better than me. And if I'm willing to follow his rules, his laws, be a part of his kingdom, I get this. Again, we strive and we chase all of these things that the world has to offer just to try to find the things that God is offering. We gather up as much as we possibly can to try to replicate what God's saying is here and available right now. What would a life of joy, like real joy, not pleasure, look like? What would a peaceful life look like? See, it's not like you get to go, okay, the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's the whole thing. It's the whole list. God just says, if you're just willing to give up the things you think you want, the things that you're truly striving for and thirsting for, the kingdom's available to you. So what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is a return to the intent of creation according to God's design. When we read Genesis at the very start, God spoke all of this into existence, set everything in motion, built this wonderful garden that was in communion with God. God came and walked. He gave them past. He said, I want you to over or subdue, but not in a forceful way. I want you to be a caretaker of this beautiful garden that I gave you, and that I'm going to be there with you. And I just love the part that it says, and God walked with them in the cool of the evening. And everything was right. He said, if you just deny your flesh of wanting that thing, and you just follow what I want, what I've made you for, joy, peace, patience, all of the things that we just desperately want, our soul cries out for, that's going to happen. The kingdom of heaven is a return to that. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field that a man found. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. A pretty good trade, right? What I wouldn't give to have true joy. What I wouldn't give to have peace. True peace. And here's the thing. When you have it, people see it. It's attainable. The last, I don't know, 18 years of my life, God's been moving me on this mission of fully surrendering more and more to Him. And in that, there's been seasons where it's been really, really tough and really difficult. But we've had joy. And we have peace. And there's been seasons where God has just blessed us by world standards in very high ways, and there's been joy, and there's been peace in those. And there's seasons where God's like, yeah, I just want you to throw all that to the side. Because I have something different in store for you. When I gave you this, it was to set you up for something else, and I need you to trust me that I'm working on something bigger than you understand in this moment. So enjoy this season while you're here, but I'm going to have you let go of this because I have something in store for you. And in that season, there's joy and there's peace. Whenever I go, and in these times, I start to grab, or I start to worry about what it means to me, or the going with my insecurities, or my struggle, or my desire to accomplish something. My joy and my peace start to slide away. Because I built my own kingdom at that point. Build my own walls. Provide for myself. Do things my way. And then when I stumble, and I fall, I realize I've missed the joy and the peace of just following what God has called me to do. I come back, into the gates of the kingdom, and I rest. Stress isn't there as much. But those things, there's still times where they go, I don't know what you're doing. I wish you would tell me ahead of time what you're doing. He said, but I got you. And I just have to keep reminding myself that He's never let me down before. I've let me down, right? But He has been faithful. And every time I just sacrifice what I want for what God's calling me to, I'm more happy, I'm more peaceful, there's more joy. Because you're in the kingdom. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had, and he bought it. So my question for you today, although I'm shortchanging you over the 30, 40 minutes of my preaching, 2 weeks is a reasonable time. What value would you place on a life in communion with God, not one that offers the fruit of the Spirit? What would you sell for that? What would you give up for that? I've been working so hard to build a house, to build a place of peace and a place of joy, and it just keeps leading to more lists, more things, more stuff, keeping up with the neighbors, doing all of these things, and I'm just exhausted and I don't have it. Would you let go saying, hey, I have a place of peace for you? What are you holding on to? Are you holding on to something that you've worked so hard for and you value, and God's going, if you just let go, I have a place of peace for you? And maybe it's not a tangible thing. Maybe you felt like God's going, hey, this thing that you have, this physical thing, isn't the healthiest for you. And I let that go because I have something better in store for you. And maybe you need to let that go. But maybe there's something from your past that you're holding on to. Because sometimes hurt and shame and embarrassment are things that we hold on to, and they provide us a protection. It gives us a crutch to hold on to, where we go, well, my life isn't like this because this is this to me. God's going to hold. Is that bringing you peace? Is that bringing you joy? And then I've disqualified me for a life in service of God. A life of peace. A life of joy. A life of patience. And if I just hold on to the fact that I am not worthy and God can't use me, then I don't have to step into this place, but over here holding on to these things, there is no joy, there is no peace, there is no comfort. God's going to sell it all. Every last bit of it. Come get the kingdom. Come get the treasure. This pearl is so worth it. Nothing you have, nothing in your past, nothing in your future, nothing is worth what God is offering you. And you don't have to wait till you're dead to get it. If the kingdom of heaven is here and now, what would you do for it? That's the question we ought to wrestle with. What God is offering, what we want. And if God is offering it, what are you going to do for it? What are you going to let go of? What are you going to remove from your life? So we're going to have our awkward time. Joel's going to come up and we're going to close on a song. We're going to have this awkward time of where we just sit. And we need to process what God is doing right now. I don't know what God is telling me. I'm not your judge. I'm not your convictor. But God may be putting something on your heart going, hey, this is the thing I need you to give to me. This is the offering I'm requesting. This is what I'm telling you. If you just let go of these things, I want to show you what I can do. So we have our time of offering. Yes, it's an opportunity where you can give financial gifts to the church and they keep the things going. But more importantly, this time is what you offer to God. And sometimes it's on your connection card. You're just writing, going, God, I need to let go of this thing. I need prayer in this time for these things. If you want prayer, put it in prayer line and say, hey, I want get together and we pray for these things. You can check the box that it goes out to the prayer chain, and then we can have everyone that signed up to pray alongside with us, and we can join together I need you to make paths and make room in their lives. Give them a confidence to walk through the gates of this kingdom of heaven. Because it's here and it's now. It's a time for an offering like that. Where God's saying, what are you willing to give up for the kingdom of heaven? So we're going to sit in for a few minutes and then Joel will lead us in a song. You'll know it's time to stand up and sing, or sit and sing, or don't sing at all and just continue to be in a moment with God. When the ushers come forward, they'll hand you the buckets and just leave them on the ends. They'll pick them back up. But spend some time right now just asking God, what am I holding on to that's keeping me from the kingdom of heaven? Would you give up everything be in the kingdom of heaven? One of the greatest realizations I had when I was really figuring out what it meant to follow Christ. And I'm figuring it out every day. It was when I felt like God was calling me to do something, and whether you're called to be a pastor or to plant a church or to conversations with your neighbors or your friends, I wasn't qualified for that. Like, you guys heard me try to read in front of you. Like, I'm not that. But there was this moment that I realized that God placed it on my heart or whatever it was, that I wasn't big enough or strong enough or smart enough or weak enough, or dumb enough, or whatever enough to mess up what God is doing. If I can't actually disrupt His plan to love His creation, there's a lot of peace in that. When I realized that the past and whatever I've done didn't keep me from doing what God had called me to do. It's a freeing moment. When I didn't have to worry about whether I was good enough. I just had to keep step with what God was calling me to do and not worry about Rick George and Rick George building his kingdom. And I'd say, hey, God, it's up to you. It's your way. I've been so much more restful. So much more peaceful. Because it wasn't on me. And so when we start living our life, people start asking questions. And it's one question, and it's my favorite verse. It's in 1 Peter 3:15 that says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. When you start living a kingdom life, and you're walking around with this goofy grin on your life, even though the world is chaotic, and everyone else is just trying to endure it, that you live with, because you're living a different world, but you're experiencing the same things as this world. And you go, let me tell you about my king. Let me tell you about this kingdom I'm in. Let me tell you where my joy and patience and comfort all comes from. It's from following this good news that you are going on this new ruler in my world and in my life. And when I submit everything to Him, I can handle all of this. Facing everything the flesh wants, I can handle all of this. And people will start going, that's what I want. And even more than that, so that's what I need. Your neighbor will get everything if they see someone living a kingdom life. What are you willing to give up for? Because not only does it benefit you, it benefits everybody. When your health sees a change in you, and you start going, that's the life I want to live. When your neighbor and your friends see it. But it will cost you. The parable says they gave up everything. That part is most welcome. Most won't trust the God that created everything and loves them deeply. And maybe it's because they don't see it in people's lives. Maybe they need an example of someone who's willing to give it all up. And go, what this world has to offer isn't what God can. And I want everything to do with that. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you for this day. We praise you for this opportunity to read your word, to dig into scripture. God, I just ask that you pour your presence on each and every one of us and make yourself more real today. Overwhelm us with your presence and your peace and your joy that can only come with a kingdom-focused mind. Show us the truth that the kingdom of God is here and now and obtainable. We praise you for this time, God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to use your week. Be back here on the 19th. The 19th. We'll be hanging back here in the cafeteria and digging into more parables. I should know what the next one is, but I'm drawing a blank on what it was. But I promise it's written down, and I got to start studying it, so we'll get it there. And then Amanda has been working on something. There's a ministry that she's been working with called Disciples for Life Ministry. It's something that we value. It's a life-affirming organization. And they have their fundraiser for July. So Amanda's going to one of these if you want to know more about it, go talk to her. Because I'm not going to talk about it. But she's going to handle this thing. And you can ask her more questions, but it is something that we support and aligns with the vision and the mission that God gave Redeemed, and it's a great opportunity to support it. So, with that, you guys are dismissed. Enjoy your 2 weeks, find rest in God in it, and work on digging in and going closer to God.